So good to be with you guys here again. How is everyone doing? Good. Counting down for the summer? 18? That's not bad. You have a little less? How many more days? I can't hear you. Ah, good for you. That's good. Who here has been here attending the series so far and did not miss one? How many stories of saints did you guys listen to so far?
Three.
What were they?
Amba Brahm.
Baba Krolis.
Amba Karas.
Very nice. Who here heard of Tamav Irini before? Very good. Who here knows her life story? Details about her life story. Very good. Who here read some of her books? How many? You read the first one. You know that the second one they translated to? Anyone else read her books? The first one? Very good. No one here read the second book? They wrote so far three books about her life. When was Tamav Irini, when did she pass away? 2006. So how many years ago?
Three.
Less than 3 years ago, October of 2006. So less than 3 years. And so far, so many books have been published about her life and about the miracles that she's doing. The amount of miracles she's doing. I just sat next to someone today, high schooler from you. Can you raise your hand? And I'm very bad with your name.
Madonna.
And she told me about a miracle that happened to a member of her family. So Tamav Irini is really working really hard. And as you hear her story, you will fall in love with her. I read her story. I didn't know much about Tamav Irini, believe it or not, when she was alive, even though she was among us. I saw her once, but I never knew that that's who she is. And as you learn about her story, you'll be amazed. What will amaze you and what amazed me is that, what century are we in? We are in the 21st century. And to hear the stories I will tell you, you will be amazed that in the 21st century, we have saints who might have exceeded and have been even maybe a little more amazing than saints who were in the first and second and third century. Okay, so Tamav Irini, her story is great. And I pray as you're listening, I'm going to tell you so many stories, and I'm not sure if we'll have time to tell you all the stories I have in mind about her life. But as I'm telling you the stories, we pray that God would touch our hearts with her story so we learn from her life. And maybe we are not going to be a nun like her, but there are so many stories in her life that are very applicable for us. Okay? When was she born? Does anyone know? When was Tamav Irini born? What year? Any guess? 19? No, she's older than that. She was almost 70. She was 70 years when she passed away. Huh? 1936. So she was born in February 1936. Her name before becoming a nun was Fawzia. She was born from very godly parents, and her parents loved God. Her mom loved to pray every day in a room kida, and Tamav Irini as a little girl would follow her and would find her mom. The first time Tamav Irini sneaked in without her mom knowing, and she sneaked in the room to see what her mom was doing, and her mom was doing matanyas and praying with the Yagbe and doing matanyas. And when she saw her mom in the Kiryalai stone doing one matanya, you guys know what matanya is, everyone knows? Going all the way down to the floor and getting back up, and then going all the way down and getting back up. And when she saw her mom doing that, she started screaming and crying. She couldn't hide anymore, and she couldn't understand what her mom was doing. So her mom took her and hugged her and explained to her what a matanya is. And she told her, come and do some matanyas with me. And she joined her. And she used to love just watching her mom pray as she was young. Her father was a man who loved God also. And they were very generous with the poor. And her grandfather also was very loving to God and very generous with the poor. So she was growing in a very Christian, healthy environment. And I'll tell you one story about her mother. Her mother one day was sitting around with a group of ladies in her house. And somehow the conversations turned into gossip. And her mom wasn't very happy about that, and she didn't know how to tell them to stop. And as she was sitting there, there was a picture of Amba Abram. You guys learned the story of Amba Abram. There was a picture of Amba Abram on the table. So all the family had a very great relationship with the saints in general. So she talked to Amba Abram secretly as she was sitting in the conversation, and she was telling Amba Abram, do something. I don't know how to stop them from gossiping. And all of a sudden, all the ladies who were sitting in her house saw a hand come out of the picture and knock on the table. And all of them saw the hand, and all of them heard the knocking, and they were troubled, and they said, what's going on? And then her mother took the chance to tell them, I think it's not good for us to gossip and talk about others, and Amba Abram is probably telling us not to do that. So that's her mom. Another story about her mom. There was a cleaning group or a cleaning lady in her house, and her mom had a very nice golden, not necklace, but حاجة كده يعني heavier than, what do you call it, cord? يعني a necklace, بس يعني gold, heavy كده وthick. And she hid it in the pillow where she sleeps. And the people who came to clean took the pillows, and you know in Egypt they take them out in the balcony and let the sun كده get all the dirt out. So that they went and they cleaned and they... So the gold necklace fell out the window. And one, she realized, she looked everywhere. She went downstairs. There were workers. Of course, she couldn't find it. So she was upset. And her husband, some of Irini's father, came to the house. And then she was troubled, so she told him. And the father didn't make a big deal out of it, but she was troubled. And she was asking the intercession of St. George. So she told him, I asked the intercession of St. George, and he didn't do anything. And he told her, St. George has better things to do than looking for your gold ring. And all of a sudden, they saw in front of them, St. George, with his horse, he dropped the gold necklace on the ground, and he disappeared. That's the family she was growing up in. Amazing family. More stories, but I'm not going to tell you anything more about her family. We'll start by talking about Tamav Irini. Tamav Irini, as she grew, all her siblings would play together. She was the oldest of them. And as she was born, the mom had difficulty giving birth to her. And the father went to church and pray. And in the end, the mother saw St. Mary and St. George. And they told her, don't worry. And St. George patted on her mother's back. The baby came all of a sudden and right away. And St. Mary told her, this baby is ours, is not yours. And as she grew, her siblings would play around, and she wasn't really into playing. She had an aunt. Her aunt's name was Mufida. I think they called her, that she had a cute name, nickname. Dida. They called her Dida. That was her nickname. They were close in age. Tamav Irini was a little younger than her aunt. And they were very good friends. Both of them wanted to be nuns. And from a very young age, they just wanted to be nuns. And this was the dream of their life. So they would play together. The game they would play together was playing nuns. And they loved each other. And then as her aunt Mufida, Dida, grew, her parents wanted to set her up and get her married. And they told her, okay, this is the person. You're going to get married to this person. She told them, but I want to become a nun. And... they took it lightly and told her, no, you're just going to get married. They set the date for the wedding, and she was very upset, and she prayed and cried with tears. St. Mary came to her and told her, tell your mother, Dida, appeared to Dida, Mufida, and told her, tell your mother, if they don't let you become a nun, I will take you to be my son's bride. Okay? So Dida went to her parents and to her mom, and she told her, St. Mary appeared to me and told me, if you guys don't let me become a nun, her son will take me as his bride. And the mom, I guess, thought that she was making up a story to run away from the marriage, and they took it lightly. And a couple of days before the wedding, they were doing kahk for the wedding, and all of a sudden, Dida had a very severe headache, and she passed away. Tama Virini was very, very disturbed, and she was crying nonstop for days. And one day, she saw Mufida, and she saw her in a glorious robe in white, holding a cross, and she saw other nuns with her, or who looked like nuns with her, and holding kida ornamented kida crosses. And she was very happy. So she told her, well, it was kind of a vision. So she was very happy to see her. And she told her, what are you doing? She told her, I'm having a great time in heaven. And who are these people around you? She told her, these are all people who wanted to become nuns, but they couldn't for one reason or another. And we're all hanging out together. And they consider us just like nuns up in heaven. And we are going now to, there is a celebration for Saint Damiana. You guys know Saint Damiana and the 40 virgins. There is a celebration in heaven, and we're going to participate in the celebration. She told her, please take me with you. And she said, you know what? No, we can't take you with us. You are going to become an abbot of a nunnery, and after that you will join us. And the vision ended. But she was very, very comforted to see her aunt and to see her happy. You guys, this is a real story that happened a few years ago, okay? this is all really true. So the mother Irene, as you go through her story, you really feel like heaven is not very far from us. And the saints in heaven are not very disconnected from us. We might not see them, but they're really all around us, okay? So that's how it started. And when she looked at the calendar that day, it was really in the Synaxarium. It was the feast of Saint Damiana. So she started talking to Saint Damiana, and she told her, you know, my father, I don't want my father to build me a place for us to start a nunnery. I want you to intercede for God to provide money so either I can build a nunnery. She didn't know how to start and how she's going to become a nun or where to go. So that was her prayer for Saint Damiana to help her in this area. And I'm telling you this because as we go through the story, I want you to see how God is going to make Tamav Irini just like Saint Damiana. Saint Damiana had 40 virgins, and she was able to attract 40 virgins to love God and become nuns like her. And you see that Tamav Irini, God blessed her to make much more than even 40 virgins to become nuns. And that's why the story starts with the celebration or the feast of Saint Damiana. And Saint Damiana will be playing a role in her life. Okay? Then she was praying one day in her room. She still doesn't know how to go about becoming a nun. Abu Sifin, whom she didn't know about, she never heard of Abu Sifin before. She was not a friend of Abu Sifin. You guys know Abu Sifin? Anyone here that never heard of Abu Sifin before? Saint Marcorius? Okay, very good. I like your honesty. Saint Marcorius is a saint in the church, just like Saint George. You've heard of Saint George? So he was a martyr in the church, and he was a soldier, and he fought battles, and God, one day an angel gave him a second sword, and we call him the holder of two swords. Abu Sifin in Arabic means the holder of two swords. So he's a famous, he was not a famous saint in our church, believe it or not, until Tamav Irini started taking care of his monastery. So Abu Sifin appeared to her as a young lady. And he told her, she asked him first, who are you? He told her, I'm Abu Sifin. She was very well spiritually educated, and she knew if someone appears to her, it could be really a real apparition, or it could be from the devil. So she told him, if you really, Abu Sifin, make the sign of the cross. He made the sign of the cross. She made the sign of the cross. It was real. And then he told her, I want you to take care of my monastery in Old Cairo. And she told him, I don't know where Old Cairo is. I don't know anything. He told her, I want you to come with me on my horse, and I'll take you. And stories like that are going to be normal from now on, okay? He took her on his horse. took her to Upper Egypt, took her to the physical monastery, and he told her, when you go there, I'm going to take you to the second floor. You're going to see a couple of nuns. They're going to ask you, because basically in the nunnery back then, all the people who were allowed in were family members of nuns. So they're going to ask you, who are you related to? Just smile and don't answer. She told him, sure. He took her. She saw the monastery. She saw everything. And when she went to the second floor, a couple of nuns saw her. She was young. She was very young. Hi, Habibti. Whose relative are you? And she smiled and she didn't open her mouth. And he took her back to his horse, on his horse, and back home. And any apparition she had, she would go right away to her father of confession and would tell him about what happened to make sure that she's always on the right track. And her father of confession told her, then Abu Sufyan wants to do something with you. Just be patient and let's see what's going to happen. And sure enough, a nun from that monastery of Abu Sufyan came to be treated in her, or to visit someone in her town. And she heard about them. She went to meet this nun. And this nun told her, I'm going to tell the abbot of the monastery about you. And I'll let her exchange mail with you. And sure enough, mail was being exchanged. And then the abbot of the monastery one day told her, I am going to meet you at this station this day and that hour. And unfortunately, her father saw that envelope, opened it, and saw that she was going to sneak out because her parents didn't want her to go. Her father told her, I'm going to build you a cell up on the roof, and you just live as a nun up there, but don't leave us. And her mother's health wasn't very good, but we need you and stuff like that, so just don't go. So the father saw this, told her, of course, you're not going anywhere. And then the parents fasted. Her father and mother were godly people, so they fasted for 3 days. And the third day, the father would go to the liturgy every day. The third day, the mother didn't go to the liturgy, and she was on her knees in her room praying. And Saint Mary appeared to her and told her, she told her, Tamav Irinya, I told you from the day she was born, she's ours. She doesn't belong to you. And if you don't let her go, I will take her to be my son's bride. And the mother, taban, this rang a bell because they knew very well what happened to Mufida. And they knew very well this was a warning that they heard and they disregarded. So right away, they told her, you're free to go. And her father was the one who was going to accompany her. Her uncle heard that she was going to go. He said, okay, I'm going to sit by the... This is never going to happen on my dead body. And he sat at the door. So when it's time for them to leave, she wouldn't go. And what happened is he was sitting on the chair and he fell asleep. And as if God really put heavy sleep on him. Then she left with her father. And they went. And by the time she caught the train, her uncle woke up and ran. It was too late. Okay, so when she first went to the monastery, it was the living conditions there were not so good, okay? So there wasn't even a room prepared for her, so she was moving from one nun to the other, and she didn't have a place for a while till they found her a room, and the room was really, really not clean, so they cleaned this room for her. She had to clean the room herself, I'm sorry. And she, a long day of hard work, and she cleaned and an old couch, and that was that. The first night, she was spending in her own cell, who was not very happy about all what's going on. The devil. You've heard of stories of Saint Anthony. Now you're gonna hear stories just like Saint Anthony. She was sitting in herself in her cell at night, and as she was praying before she sleeps, she saw the devil in front of her. So she saw someone who's as tall as the ceiling. And he was holding a knife in his hand. And his eyes were red as blood. And he took the knife and he threw it to the ground. And she was terrified. And she screamed. And as she was screaming, the nuns came from other cells. Came and comforted her. And she went to the abbot of the monastery that night and she told her, I am terrified. And she was young. The book didn't tell tell us exactly how old she was, but she was in her 20s. She became an abbot, you know, by age 26. Yeah, so she was in her early 20s. If not, she was 19-ish or something like that. She was very young when she went. Anyways, she went to the abbot of the monastery and she told her, I am terrified. And she told her, don't worry, the devil can only scare us. It's all, he's just a vapor, make the sign of the cross and say the name of Jesus. He's always going to disappear. Don't be scared of this. Be used to this. And she comforted her. She told her, let me sleep with you through the night. She told her, no, you're not going to sleep with me through the night. You're going to go back and don't be afraid of him. And she encouraged her not to be afraid. Okay. After that, did the devil leave her? No. As she was doing her Agbaya prayer, you know, during the Agbaya prayer, after every song, she would do a matanya. And as she would do matanyas, she would see on the floor real big snakes, real scorpions in front of her on the floor. And she shared that with the nuns, and the nuns told her, oh, like as if something they're really used to. No, 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 this is the devil. Just continue doing your matanyas and continue praying. And these are all tricks from the devil. She told them, no, no, but these are real, real ones. And she told her father of confession, and her father of confession, also a very, very godly man, he told her, no, you go and do your matanyas, and even if your hand touches them, let them touch them, and if your head touches them, continue on with your matanyas. And she said, as she was doing the matanyas, she would really touch them, she would really feel the skin of the snakes. And she continued till this stops. She was very busy in the monastery. They give everyone a lot of work to do, and she would be very tired, and she asked her guardian angel to kind of wake her up so she can be able to finish all what she needs to finish and wake up on time. And she shared that when she sleeps at night and it's time to wake up, she sees a guardian angel patting her and kind of waking her up. And after he wakes her up, she sees him in front of her, standing in front of her bed. So every morning, he would wake her up. And she prayed and told him, God, because the responsibility is much, you can give me grace to sleep 4 hours or 5 hours and wake up as fresh as if I slept the 8 hours. And God gave her that grace. So she wouldn't sleep much, but God would give her grace to wake up fresh and ready to go on about the day. Okay. As she was not a nun yet, she was just under... under A? Novice. They call it novice. Under Eba?
Training.
Under training. So she was still under training, and they told her, you're responsible taking care of the kitchen. And because there was so much work in the kitchen, that they wouldn't let her go and take communion even on Sundays. And they told her, like the spiritual guides and the abbot of the monastery would tell her, serving and obedience is just better than sacrifice. Obedience is better than sacrifice. So she said, okay, and she obeyed. But she, if you know Tom of Irini, she loved the liturgy. She loved to take communion. And to her, that was a big deal, but she obeyed. And she went on for 3 months working in the kitchen, and then they promised her after this 3 months, tomorrow or that Sunday, you are going to take communion and you're going to attend the liturgy and then come back fast to continue your work. And she was so excited. And the night before, news came to her basically, no, you're not going to go. Work is too much and you're not going to be able to go to the liturgy. I just want to tell you, I don't want to... So that the night before, when she was in her cell, so the waking up to go to the kitchen right away, she was upset. But she said, okay. She saw, I can't recall if she saw one person or two people, and she asked them, who are you? They told her, we're hermits, come with us, we'll take you to a place where there is a liturgy going on. I forgot to tell you guys. Okay, back up a little bit. She would stand in the balcony with her mother when she was younger. She would stand in the balcony with her mother, and they would hear amazing voices of people praising God in the church. And there was a church next to them, and a liturgy would be going on, and the lights lit and everything. And it was not a time to, new liturgies were scheduled at this time. And when they were discussing with the priest of this church, the priest told them, no, there are no liturgies during this time. So what you guys are listening to are hermits. Hermits come and they pray liturgies in churches where they feel the love of God. And they leave before our liturgy starts. Guys, what I'm telling you really happens, okay? And okay, so you guys heard of okay, I'm not going to distract you. Let me move on, and then I'll tell you later. So she was able to listen to, she knew the concept that there are hermits, and she knew the concept that hermits pray liturgies at all times. So it was midnight, and this hermit or two hermits came to her and told her, come with us, and they carried her with them, took her to a church, and they told her this church is located in St. Anthony's Monastery, and it's really physically there, and they took her physically, guys, and she was there, attended the liturgies, and after she took communion, she was so happy. It was very, very spiritual and uplifting, and after she finished and took communion, they took her back, and they give her an urbana. So she took the urbana hamal, she took the urbana and went to the abbot of the monastery, and told her this is what happened before. And the abbot of the monastery was very familiar with that, and she told her, okay, you took communion, give me the hamal, I take the blessing. And then she went to the kitchen. So they brought her back on time, 4 o'clock, or whatever the time was, for her to start her kitchen duties. And that was the beginning, okay? So she was very happy, and one day she was going to the church to take communion, to attend the liturgy, and as she was in the liturgy, she heard nuns talk about life and about cooking and about the kitchen and about silly subjects during the liturgy, and she was surprised that they're talking during the liturgy. And as she was walking out of the liturgy, she saw a group of nuns also talking about things they're not supposed to be talking about, and she was kind of surprised. At the end of the day, she reviews the day, and she offers repentance, but she didn't even think that what she did was a big deal, because she was kind of surprised, but she didn't tell anyone. She didn't. So she had judgmental thoughts. That's all it was, really. So that night, as she was offering repentance about the day, she was taken. She was taken to a cell, as a prison cell, kida, underground, very dark. The smell was horrible. And she saw inside this room or inside this cave different nuns in different cells, kida, as if they're imprisoned, everyone in a cell. And she was very, very disturbed. And she looked around and she told them, what are you guys doing here? I can't stay here anymore. This is suffocating. And this is too dark. What's going on? They told her, we're here because we have been judging the system of the monastery, as we were nuns. We were judging other nuns. We were judging the abbot of the monastery. They were judging, basically. And we're here. And if you guys want to know where she was, God took her to Hades, to an area in Hades where there were nuns who went to Hades. She said, no, I want to get out of here. I want to get out of here. She saw an angel dressed in white standing at the door. And she told him, get me out of here. He told her, everyone here cannot get out. But I am given permission that you get out. But be careful. And he told her there are two doors. You can either go through that wide door and that leads to the city, and this narrow door and it leads to the monastery. And in order for her to go to through that narrow door, means it was very narrow and the surface was rough. So in order for her to go, she said, okay, I'll go facing back. And all her back got really scratched till she reached the monastery, and she ran to herself and she offered repentance. And she said there was a puddle under her from the tears. And she said, I took lightly judging others is a big deal, and I took it lightly, and please God help me never to judge anyone. And from that moment, from that day on, she started putting cotton balls in her ears, so as she walked she wouldn't hear anyone or what they're saying. And she was serving the abbot of the monastery, and as she walks and she makes sure she has those cotton balls, and she makes sure she runs when anyone wants to start a gossip or anything. And she took it very, very seriously. When you guys are bored, let me know. So as I told you before, she was very honest with her spiritual guide and her father of confession, and she would obey them blindly. She was regular, of course, in her Bible reading and in her prayers. And she used to love reading stories of the saints. And she knew a lot of saints, and she was friends with a lot of saints. Okay? And she was kind of really ready to lead at a very young age. One day, in a vision again, she saw Abu Sufyan collecting from nuns a key here and a key there and a key there and a key here, and collecting keys, and he tied them in a rope and gave it to Tamav Irini. And she told him, what is this? He told her, I want you to be the abbot of my monastery. She took the keys and threw them back. She had a really casual relationship with Abu Sufyan. As you read, they kind of, oh, what are you doing and what are you talking about? So she took the keys, she threw them back at him, and she told him, no, I don't want to lead. And the conversation went back and forth, and basically he threw it, he put the chain on her neck, and he disappeared. So she knew God was preparing her that she will become the abbot of the monastery. The abbot at this time was getting old, and she also saw a vision that Tamav Irini will become one. But Tamav Irini kept on refusing and kept on running away. Baba Krollus, very wise, she was very disturbed by this, so she went to Baba Krollus and she told him. Baba Krollus to her was a father. So she said, I'm going to talk to him and he's going to understand me. And she was in tears. And she told him, basically this happened after the abbot got sick and passed away. Everyone told her she's going to become a nun. And she went to Baba Krollus and she told him, no, there are better nuns than me, older than me. And he told her, really? Tell me, who are they? She told him, Tamav مش عارفة أمنا مين and أمنا مين and أمنا مين. He told her, that's a very good idea. Baba Krollus at this time was that he overheard that she wanted to run away. So he overheard, and Tamav Irini's father told her, no, don't become an abbot. I'm going to come and I'll sneak you away and I'll take you and stuff like that. So she went to Baba Krollus and she told him, I don't want to be a nun. And she was in tears. And he told her, that's a very good idea. Omena so and so. Okay, you know what? I'm going to come secretly to the monastery and I'm going to ordain her. So just don't tell anyone about our conversation. So she was very happy, and they were surprised because she was depressed for a while. How come you're so happy now that she was visited Baba Krollus? She told him, he prayed for me. And he really did. And she was she kept her promise. And all of a sudden, one day, Baba Krollus comes. I think he delegated people, and they ordained her. And she was shocked, but خلاص, she was kind of facing the reality. And she became the abbot of the monastery at age 26, as I told you. And when she started, she said, really, the situation of the monastery, the place was very old, and the nuns were everyone, the system in the monastery was very different than back then. You know, heard of Amba Bachomius? What do you know about Amba Bachomius? Huh? Abba Sharika, the he is the one who established the system of monks living together and having a system, okay? But somehow this monastery wasn't run this way. So every nun ate in her room by herself. Every nun provided for herself with whoever family members who brought her money. And that it was a very funny system. So she wasn't happy with the system. So she said, I'm going to pray and fast for 3 days for God to reveal to me how to run the system. And after the third day of no eating and no drinking at all, she was taken up to heaven in front of the throne of God, and she saw Christ, and he told her, or he asked one of the angels, I really can't remember the details because there are so many stories, he asked someone to take her to Amba Bachomius. Amba Bachomius, Abba Sharika, the father who established the life of monasticism, group monasticism, she went to him, and she saw him in this great clothes. And he basically told her, I want the system to be the way I established it. And you're going to find in the books, in the library of the monastery, a book, a manuscript that has all the details of how I ran the system. I want you to read this book and do it the same way. So she was so happy. She went back down to her cell. And a lot of times, by the way, she would go here and there. And sometimes the nuns would go inside her room and don't find her. And then they ask her, and all of those stories kind of, they knew about them because they were, so where were you? No, 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 you weren't in your cell. We opened and there was no one there. So tell us what was happening. And she would finally tell them. Okay. So God guided her on how to start this. She was the youngest of all the nuns, but there were so many humble nuns who were tetas in their age, who followed and obeyed and were very happy with the new system. And of course, others who were very, very not happy. Like, who is this girl who's coming and changing everything upside down? So she asked all of them basically to be praying together 3 times a day, in the morning, midnight, and in the middle of the day, certain prayers of the Agbaya, midnight tasbaha, and it leads to a liturgy. So, and meal time together, and they would sit together and eat together, and someone would read to them either the Synaxarium or the stories of the saints. So she changed everything. Everything kind of became very organized. So many nuns started wanting to become nuns. So during her time, she started growing, she started building, expanding the building they had, and two or three more buildings. Two more nunneries in two different locations she established for nuns to live in. And now these nunneries are filled with nuns, okay? So many stories about miracles, not stories, miracles, about how everything came to be. But she used to love the people a lot and spend one-on-one with people. So anyone who would come to the monastery, she was so humble to consider, like, if you came, she would be so humble to consider and to listen and to give advice and to be concerned, to the point that one day, a man came, he knew Tamar for a while, and he was going to Iraq for work, and he was scared to go to Iraq for work, and he wanted her blessing. She was very sick at that time, and the nuns told him, "Yani, sorry, we can't let you see her." So he was disappointed because he was traveling the next day and he couldn't see Tamav. And he went to Iraq and he had his small house or his apartment. And in the apartment, he sees Tamav, comes to him, and she has oil and she anoints him with oil. And she gives him oil and she gives him a cross. And after the man finishes his work, he goes back to Egypt, up to old Cairo, to take the blessing of Tamav. And he told them, I think Tamav was then sick again or something. So he told the nuns about Tamav Irini coming to him in Iraq and giving him a cross and oil. And he told them, here it is. So they went to Tamav and told her, Tamav, this is what happened. Tell us the details. And she tells them in all simplicity, I was praying in my cell, and this man came to my mind, and all of a sudden, before then, the nuns came to her cell, and they were showing her their handwork. So they did crosses with the guild, like this one. Can I show them? A cross like that. So they made crosses, but smaller size and stuff. Sorry. So they were showing her their work, and some of it fell from them. So she took it and put it in her pocket. And she said, when I went to Iraq, I wanted to give the guy a blessing. She found herself basically taken. She was, what do we call this? Huh? A suwah. She was one of the suwah, you guys, okay? So she was a nun, she was one of the suwah. So, you guys really need to read her life story because it's amazing. She talks to you about who are the suwah and what they do. And how when they fly like, woo, you hear this noise, woo, and then they fly. If there's time, I'll tell you about that later. So basically, she was physically there. She was physically there and physically back right after. So traveling takes no time. And that's a gift God gives to the Suwah, the hermits. One of many stories. Okay. So when they started the tasbaha, and it was still new, some of the nuns went very happily, and some of them went kind of begrudgingly, and some didn't go at all. One day, or a few times, they say, I can't recall, tell you the truth, if it was one time or a few days, where they saw Saint Mary physically present at the entrance of the church. And she would give a lit candle to anyone who was going happily inside the church to do tasbaha, and a candle that's not lit to those who were going begrudgingly. And of course, those who stayed back, they didn't get anything. They saw Amba Bachomius present the first time they started this tasbaha, present with a few other saints. They saw it physically. Okay. One day, as they were doing construction and rebuilding and enlarging and growing the monastery, there was one door to the entrance of the monastery that they broke down, and the man who fixes doors, el carpenter, promised her he's going to come and fix it. And the night came and the man didn't come, and the door was open, kida, broken and open. So Tamav brought some stuff and kind of closed it, kida, with some stuff. And they waited for the next day. So one of the old nuns was very upset at what was going on, and she gave it to Tamav. Tamav Irini was young at that time, remember? So she told her, Tamav, what's going on? Don't you know that we are nuns and the location of the monastery is in a very dangerous location, and this is kind of not responsible of you, kind of, to keep this door open like that? And she told her, really, the man promised me he's going to come, but he couldn't come, and I didn't know what to do, but God protects God and the saints protect his monastery, don't worry. She told her, God protects, but we have a brain to use, something like that. And she wasn't very happy. And as they were doing their tasbaha or midnight prayer, this nun couldn't sleep. She was so anxious. So she was standing and doing her prayer, looking at this door to see what's going to happen and who's there and who's not. So as she was standing, she heard noises down there. And she said, sure enough, what I expected. And she was terrified. And she said, who's down there? There were three soldiers, Abu Sufyan, Marimina, and Saint George. The three of them. I think one of them told her where Saint Mina, Abu Sufyan, and Saint George were here to guard. They were going around or something, guarding the place. And she couldn't believe it, so she looked, and she saw them. So she went and knocked at her another ummina next to her and told her, I want you to come and see this. And they both looked, and both of them saw the three saints standing down and guarding the monastery. Abu Sufyan was the one talking to her, and he told her, we're here to protect the monastery, as Tamav told you, something like that. And he couldn't believe her, or something like that. So then she couldn't sleep all night, and she was in tears, and she really was... She felt very bad for what she did, and she went to Tamav the next morning, did a matanya, and cried and told her, please forgive me, I talked to you with disrespect, and yes, the saints are guarding the monastery. And she told the story, and she shared the story with all the nuns in the monastery. And the next day they fixed the door. Once there was money needed in the monastery, and they told her, Umina, we need an amount of money to go and buy food for the nuns. She told them, sure, and she knew there was not a penny. She had not a penny. So she prayed to God, and she prayed to Abu Sufyan and told him, take care of it. Her father of confession had finished the liturgy and went to take a siesta, a rest, a nap. He found someone waking him up. I can't recall, but physically waking him up or in his dream waking him up, and then go take money and go to the Abu Sufyan monastery. And he went back to sleep and again woke him up, go take money and go to the monastery. So he went, took money, went to the monastery that same day, and it was the money they needed. Abu Sufyan worked. One day they saw, as they were going doing tasbihah, one of the nuns, one of the saintly nuns. As you know, saintly nuns in this monastery are very familiar with the devil and his forms and his shapes, okay? So this nun was walking down to go to the church for the tasbihah, and she saw a devil beaten and tied to a tree. And she was about to make the sign of the cross on him. He told her, hold on, I have a message to tell you. And Tamav explained in another section in the book, saying basically, the devil wouldn't tell you his secrets. He was really ordered to tell the secret. So he told her, I was told to tell you why I'm here and why I'm beaten like that. I'm here and beaten like that because Tamav, when she started this new system, she asked the nuns, every day before you start the tasbihah, every nun would do a matanya to the other nun and say, I have sinned, forgive me. And we're not going to start tasbihah till every nun does a matanya to all the other nuns. Basically, I have sinned, forgive me. And she said, he said, it's this, I have sinned, forgive me, that's beating me like this and tying me to this tree like that. And he says, I work really hard to create stories and dilemmas and problems between the nuns. And at the end of the day, all the nuns, they do matanyas to each other and they forgive each other. And that's what's beating me like this. And that's the power of forgiving others even when they have done the wrong. It really ties the devil and makes him handicapped. So this is a message I learned in the story. Okay. She built health centers and pharmacy and workshops for them. If you look at the pictures, you know this is some of Irini. I'm not sure if all of you have seen her. I can pass the book for you to look at the picture. And if you look at the back here, these are the three buildings and how they expanded. Okay. Before then, it was one or two-story building, very, very beaten, very old. But she, God gave her grace during her years of monasticism to do all that. Just pass it around, picture at the front. And she really desired martyrdom. She wanted to become a martyr. And different saints, Saint Mary would appear to her, Abu Sufyan would appear to her, and they would tell her, your sickness will be your crown of martyrdom. So she was sick throughout her 30 years. Her last 30 years, she was really, really sick. She was functioning with 30% capacity of heart and sometimes with 15% capacity of her heart. And for the most part, plus so many other things that she went through. One time, she was in severe pain in one of the hospitals. Here in the States. Cleveland. Yes, thank you. So she went to the Cleveland Hospital many times for different surgeries, different complications, different problems. And she would stay there for some time, many times. And one of those times when she was in the hospital, she was really, really in pain that she couldn't sleep. And she couldn't sleep for a few days. And she was praying and she really, it was at her end, Yani. And this time, our Lord Jesus Christ himself appeared to her. Our Lord Jesus Christ appeared to her. She mentioned three times, as much as I recall, if not four times, where he appeared to her physically. this time, he held her hand and he told her everything will be okay. And she said that she leaned her head on his chest and she slept. And she said this was the first time she slept in a long, long time. And the first time she really slept deep because she couldn't sleep from the amount of pain she was going through. So even though she went through a lot, but also the comforts and the consolations were great. So every time she sees Christ, she describes him. One time he was holding a sheep as a shepherd. And when she describes the love coming out of his eyes, she can't put her eyes down from him. So, okay, I'll tell you about her relationship with the hermits. This is the third book, so this book is not even translated yet in English. One day the hermits took her to the place, like the hermits, she would pray a lot of liturgies with the hermits after that. Sometimes she would be sick and hermits come and take her to a liturgy, and then the nuns would not find her in her cell and then find her again. There are so many stories, I'm just going to share one. So the hermits told her, I will show you where we're living, and they explained to her, she asked them so many questions about what are hermits and where do they live and what are they doing and do they really exist these days. And they were telling her that hermits back then used to be so many in number, but now they're shrinking in number. And their location, he told her about a few locations in Egypt, and he told her there are a few locations out of Egypt, but very, very few hermits exist and live these days. And they live together, but everyone separate. Like they live in a group together, they cultivate to provide for themselves, but everyone separate. They don't talk to each other. They just attend the liturgies together and then they separate. Okay, I'm not going to tell you how hermits are being picked. But basically, I'll tell you, because it's very exciting. I'll tell you one story about a young girl who loved God so much and wanted to just dedicate her life for God. And a hermit appeared to her and told her, you are going to come like one of us. I'm going to come this day and this hour. Let your parents come and I'm going to talk to them because you are going to become a hermit. And she would see the hermit fly and come back, yani flying keda. And her parents came, and the parents asked about what's this and where our daughter is going to live. He told her everything will be fine, and we're going to come back next year at this time. Wait for us, and to comfort the mother, basically, and tell her, like, she's in good hands, and she just didn't disappear like that, and she's still alive. And the girl would come back and see her parents, and then live the life of hermithood. So we have hermits living around us. If it wasn't for Tamav Irini, we wouldn't have known. You know that? Okay. A lot of hermits come to the monastery of Abu Sifin to pray liturgies and leave. And one of the nuns was cleaning one day the carpet. And she was saying all this, you know, the candles in Egypt, not as fancy as ours here. They're thick and they really, the wax really dirties the floor. So she kept cleaning. And she's saying, every time I clean, and where is this coming from? And one day she saw that wax and she said, no one came here and what's going on? And Tamav told her, well, this is the wax that because the liturgies are prayed overnight, so it's dark, so the hermits use candles. And that's where the wax is coming from. So you go to this monastery. I really encourage you, if you go. I went to Egypt. God called me to go for a week. And I said, I'm going to go for a week, but Tamav, please let me go to your monastery. And I went, and you go, and you just feel the presence of God. You feel it is holy ground. You feel those people are really living a spiritual life. Anyways, to conclude, okay, one story and conclusion, Nishi. Last story. As I told you, she had three locations, and in one of the locations, they were still constructing. So a nun would go and help and go back to the nunnery at the end of the day. And this nun went, and she was supposed to meet with another nun, and they were going to train the dogs, كلاب الحراسة, guard dogs. Huh? What do you call it? Security dogs. She was supposed to meet this nun, and then somehow she went, and this nun wasn't there. And all the dogs, all of a sudden, she saw all those dogs running towards her, and everyone wanting to bite, eat her alive, kind of. So she said, I panicked. I forgot that I can pray. I kept screaming for any of the nuns to hear me and come and rescue me. And I couldn't. And she was She felt that her heart was going to stop from the shock, and she didn't know what to do. And all she saw is that a dog came and held her thing of her hair, and one held her gown, and all of a sudden, she sees a hand full of light, and this hand kind of has rays, kida, light, and every light is pushing those dogs, kida, away from her. And she said, that's what I saw. I saw this hand and pushing the dogs away from her till every dog left. And she ran, and the nuns opened to her, and she was hysterical, and the nuns comforted her, and she slept that night. And then when she went back to the monastery, and she was taking the blessing of Tamar of Irini, and Tamar of Irini used to sit with every nun one-on-one to disciple them. So as she was sitting with her, and she was telling her, how are you and how was your visit at Sidi Khair? She told her it was fine. She didn't tell her anything. She didn't tell any of the nuns about this hand. She didn't tell anyone. And she told everything was fine. And she told her, how did those dogs treat you? And she told her, how do you know about the dogs? She told her, I was there. She told her, was this your hand? She told her, yes, this was my hand. And she told her, so how did you come? She told her, I was praying in my cell, and I felt that you were in trouble, and all of a sudden I saw myself in front of you, and I protected you from those dogs, and I went with you as the nun sat with you, and they were comforting you. I was with you making sure that you're okay, till I made sure you're okay, and then I went back to my cell. One of many guys, okay? The Mavirini is an amazing saint. She got very, very sick in the end. And she took, and she took, definitely she was considered to receive the crown of martyrdom. There are other stories about how when she passed away, so many different people who loved her saw visions of her passing. Some of them were even here in the States, and some were in Canada, and some were in different, and all of them saw the same vision. They saw Tamar going up to heaven with around her a lot of martyrs and a lot of saints, and going kida with joy and praises and glory up to heaven. And I'm not going to share the story. You guys need to read the books. So her departure was glorious. The prayer was glorious. So many miracles. And I'm going to share final thing after she passed away to tell you that she's around us. And she listens to all of us, and she is as active as can be now. And even she appeared to one of the ladies and told her to go and tell the nuns this, that basically now I am more free. Back when I was in the body, I was very limited in what I can do because of my sickness, because of so many things. But now I am more free, and I'll be around you more, and I'll do much more than when I was with you in the flesh. And this is definitely is happening. And it's happening all around. So many people came and reported about miracles that happened already. And I'm going to share one that's related to the youth, because it's about a girl who never knew or heard of Tamar of Irini. And she started getting into this relationship with a guy who was not even, I don't know if he was Christian, the story doesn't say. But basically this guy kept promising, I'm assuming he was Christian, kept promising her that he's going to get married to her. And the relationship kind of accelerated to where it doesn't need to go. And every time she kind of enjoyed that, but she would lie to her parents and tell them, I'm going to church while she's going to meet with this guy. And and the relationship kept on deteriorating, and in a way she was enjoying what she was doing, and in a way she wasn't very comfortable. And the guy kept promising her he's going to get married, but he never got married. Anyways, one night she had a dream. Tamar of Irini appeared to her, and she never saw her before. So she told her, do you want to go to heaven? That was the first question she asked her. Do you want to go to heaven? She told her, of course I want to go to heaven. She told her, if you want to go to heaven, then you need to stop what you're doing. She was very defensive, and she told her, what am I doing? She told her, this relationship that you're in is not good, and you need to stop that, and you need to start walking in the narrow path in order for you to make it to heaven. And she was very shocked. And it was real, like the dream was real to her. And she said, no one knows about this. How does this lady that I don't know knows about this? And she kept it very, very private. So she was panicking. And she told her, who told you about this? And the Mavirini told her, I don't know, basically, you just need to walk in the narrow path. I told her, what's your name? I've never seen you before. I've never seen nuns before. What's your name? And she looked at her intently and a very firm kid of face. And she told her, my name is Tamav, my name is Irini. I don't know if she told her Tamav Irini or just Irini. And she disappeared. And from that moment, it was a wake-up call for her. And she said, I tried before to break this relationship, but I was never able to. And this time, she was able to break the relationship. And she did. And a few days later, she saw a friend of hers who had Watani magazine newspaper. And it was an old magazine that had the picture of Tamav Irini and her departure and stuff like that. So she looked at it and she recalled the face right away. And she told them, who's this? And they told her, this is Tamav Irini. And once they told her the name, she cried out loud. And she couldn't stop crying. And she went to her father's confession. She confessed and she said everything, all what she was hiding. And Amuna told her, that's miraculous. We're going to a trip that weekend. We're going to Tamav. We're doing some visits to monasteries. And we're going to Tamav Irini. Do you want to come with us? You better come with us. And she went with them. And she took her blessing. And her life was changed through Tamav Irini, who never knew her. But Tamav Irini takes care of her daughters and takes care of her children in general, not just daughters and men. So many miracles with different genders. Because she is our mother, Tamav Irini. Okay? And glory be to God forever. Amen. Just to conclude, kida, I don't know how to conclude, but I would encourage you to do three things. I encourage you to read the stories of the saints because they raise our level. You know, we're living, you look around you and you feel like we're living in a very corrupt world. But you look around you again and you see saints that are just like Saint Anthony living among us, okay? Read the stories of the saints. They will push you to live the life God wants you to live, okay? The other thing, I would really encourage you to read the stories, the books of Tamav Irini. They translated two books. They're golden. They're life-changing. And the third one, I'm sure they're going to translate soon. Use her as your friend.
Where can you find the books?
Good question. We're going to try to find you the books. Ask George. Your coordinator is the one who can get it for you. Okay? Glory be to God. Do you have questions or comments? Sorry, I took longer than I expected.